about what happens between sessions?
I guess to an extent.
Like, sometimes your DM will say, alright, that's gonna be it, and we come back from next week, it'll be, you know, a month after this session has taken place, right? You ever wondered what happens between those times?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, in real life. Like, I do sometimes wonder what, like, character, or what players in DM have secret conversations about, but I do also wonder about in-game time passing.
Well, you know what, man? It's kind of the same thing, because you kind of think about it. Characters and the people, the players, they'll go off and do something. They'll go to work. They'll live their lives. They'll practice skills. They'll live amongst the rats. They'll design, you know, houses they can't afford. Things of that nature, you know?
I feel like those last two things were kind of specific.
And, you know, I kind of... It just makes me think, you know, why don't we pay as much attention to what characters do between adventures? And that's what we... I've come to talk about today.
Is this the intro? I feel like this is the intro.
This is the intro, I think.
Could it be? No, no, no. I did not spend my downtime working on the intro. Can you tell?
There's not been methodical thinking about how you can connect this intro to Nuggies like I normally do. But
yeah, I spend my downtime acquiring Nuggies. Hello and welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales. My name is Ben.
I'm Mike.
I'm Jake.
And today we will be talking about downtime activities. Nice. Which is the things that happen between adventures. When your adventurers are not off doing death-defying things that should get any normal person killed within 3 seconds of attempting and saving the world or destroying it, and they're just doing things.
That and if you're like me, you'll ask this question once when you first start playing the game, like, hey, what happens in between adventures? And then your DM goes, well, I'm glad you asked. And then you guys sit in his living room for a little bit, and then you decide what you want to do. And then that one thing eventually starts to take over that character's life, and he actually prefers doing that over adventuring, because why die? And then you slowly stop the campaign from ever existing, because your character was kind of like the essential character of the entire campaign, and then no one can play anymore, because every time they go on a quest, they have to convince your character to go with them, and then he really hates it, and then he doesn't actually like adventuring anymore.
You know, that seemed oddly specific.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It was very specific.
I don't think I was a part of that game.
I think you were. Hmm.
I think I might have had, like, you know, 3 characters or so in that game.
I don't think I was involved in that game.
Not as a player character.
No, Ben wasn't there. It was something else.
No, I just wasn't even there.
Yeah. He missed that day. He was sick.
Yep.
So downtime activities.
There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
My God. Anything you can do, they can do better or worse than you in spectacular ways.
Usually worse.
Depending on the dice, typically.
Yeah. So, let's say you're a wizard, but you found this really cool piece of armor, right? And your DM's like, I mean, you can't wear it. You're a wizard. You don't have armor proficiency. And you say, but DM, what if I enrolled in a military academy? And your DM says, what? And you say, yeah, what if I enrolled in a military academy? And he says, what are you talking about? It's like, what if I enrolled in a military academy and got trained to use armor and weapons? And then your DM will ask, are you multi-classing into fighter? And you say, no. I just want the soldier background. And then you spend the time out of game or in game. You leave your wizard and they go to military academy. When they come out, they have a whole new thing of skills. And all it took was a little bit of time and dedication.
Yeah, I mean, depending on your players and the DM and everything, like, that could be something that is totally fun to just run a little one-off or two-off game with that one person in the DM and have that act it out. It can be fun. Yeah. You can even pull in other people from your group that don't necessarily have a whole lot of time to play and have them be like recruits or drill sergeant or something.
Mm-hmm.
Be pretty cool.
And they've got a whole one-shot within the confines of your campaign, and it still progresses the story.
And here's another great thing canon. You can do.
Yeah, and it's canon. And here's another great thing you can do with downtime. Let's say, in your downtime, you know, you're like, man, you know what I really need right now? Like, really need? Because I'm going to go with my wizard example again. I spent all my money on spells. I need money. You can work. You can go to work. You can get a job. You can get a job being a bagger at a local thrift store. And your DM will give you money. Or you can start a business if you're going to be in one place for a long time. Or a traveling business if you're willing to invest in all the things you need to make it work. And there's a chart, even, in the Dungeon Master's Guide to help you run most that business.
In fact, most of this stuff that we're here to talk to you guys about is in the Dungeon Master's Guide. And we will tell you if it is or not as we go through. If it is from a book, we will tell you where to find it.
I also just want to say I really like the idea of just a random wizard going up to, I don't know, let's call him Bellathor. Okay. And say, hey, you need me to bag any of your general goods?
That was also
I like to think
specific.
He uses Mage Hand to do it all.
He's just sitting in the corner reading his book and he's just like...
And for anybody who knows the reference, you know.
Right. He's like using his Mage Hand and then all of a sudden his Mage Hand gets stuck and he looks up and there's like a 12-pound bag of flour. And he's like, ah!
Oh, man. I can't even lift that. I'm a wizard.
But yeah, all of these things are possible if you work with your DM a little bit, alright? And in my recent game, The Royal Flush, I gave all of my players 2 whole years of in-game downtime. 2 years.
2 years.
It's pretty solid.
Where I just gave I just put a time skip.
Put a time skip in our game.
Okay. Some people spent their time training. Some people spent their time donating money, earning money, raising a dog. Some people spent their time wandering around, developing a reputation for themselves, developing lore for their character. Some people went searching for something and found it. Some people took feats that they trained for, and they practiced and trained every single day for those 2 years. And when they came out of it, they were bitter and sad. And it was all great. Like, I loved every second of it. And when everyone came back together and they all found out what they'd been doing for 2 years, some people felt like they didn't do a lot, and some people felt like maybe they did a little too much. But it was all... it all made for a better story.
And if you want an example of doing too much, let's just say that one of your characters, you know, started a mercenary group and started, you know... doing mercenary work, taking down governments from the inside. Just as an example.
Or maybe another example, training for, I think it was 3 or 4 feats total. With all of the 2 years. 4 extra feats.
But you know, just example, spitballing here, you know?
Maybe that's a little bit too much. I don't know. But hey, I had the drawback of being sad and miserable at the end, so.
Or you could spend 2 years desperately trying to keep in touch with all of your friends that you haven't seen, opening an orphanage for children that have lost their parents as you did, and buying a dog.
Self-help.
And then finding out that your husband is non-contactable.
Yes. And that he started a mercenary group.
But like we said, we're just spitballing here. It's not like any of this happened.
Just ideas.
Yeah, this is just random ideas. I don't even know where we got half of these. Yeah, yeah. But that is the great thing about downtime. It is unique to every single character. And there is no limit to really what you can do with it. Because all you have to do is get your DM to say, yes, you can do this within that time frame. And that you have the resources to do it.
Yep, pretty much.
Like, you can also craft magic items. Do you know that? You can say, hey, DM, I had this idea for a magic item. And your DM can say, okay, what is it? And you say, it's a ring that allows me to grow as if by the enlarge reduce spell. And he says, okay, that doesn't sound that bad. And then you say, at will, an infinite number of times a day. And he says, okay, but only one part of my body at a time. You said what? And then your DM can work with you on creating that item. And you can, maybe you need to go find a certain item, and you have to spend some of that time going off and finding that specific item in order to even craft this thing in the first place. Like, maybe you need to find, I don't know, a giant's toe and a sprig of mistletoe from the North Pole. Who knows? But there it is. You have to go find those things, and you have to spend the time creating this thing and invest the money into creating this thing. Once you do, once downtime's over, everyone else has cool stuff, and you have a ring that allows you to grow or shrink any part of your body at will.
Sounds like a bard item.
I'm just imagining a monk using that to grow their fists as they impact or shrink them down so you can stab people. And then growing them once they're inside the person's body.
And then pulling your fist out of the body.
What body?
So, man, this is like the Ant-Man Thanos meme all over again. So
it is.
maybe we should go into more specifics about each thing.
Probably.
I feel like we've been fairly specific. maybe a little too specific.
About certain instances, maybe, but about what you could actually do and naming them, maybe a little bit less.
That's fair.
We do have a list in front of us, believe it or not. We haven't exactly gone through it, though.
we've kind of touched on a couple of things on the list, but without actually saying exactly what it is on the list.
Yeah, okay. And that's what I think is the problem
here. First and foremost, the first thing on our list, and probably the biggest, running
my favorite
a business. Okay, start up a business. You buy out some old building, you start up a blacksmith shop, or an inn, or a bar, or a merchant shop, or a thrift store, whatever. You open, you start a business.
Specific, but okay.
You start a business. You just run in a business, man. I don't know what you want me to tell you. yeah, and there is a chart in the DMG. It's page 129, and there's a running.
And also 127 for the first time that you're doing.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a couple of them. That's maintenance costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, still important.
You have 2 gold per day to run a shop, and then there's a chance that you lose money every day.
For the you're also having to hire workers and stuff to keep it running while you're not there. And
how
all
many
the
workers
things.
You need, how much you pay them all.
Yep.
You know. And then, actually using that and benefiting from it during your downtime is a part of the 129 page chart, where you roll a D100 plus whatever modifier that your DM gives you, which mine was pretty good for my specific example of running an inn, because I like strategically placed the location of my inn in a really nice spot. It was like half a day's travel in between this one big city and a slightly big, like a kind of big city, but not really that big city. But I mean, I place my inn right in the middle, so that way anyone who's going from one to the other most likely stops here, and they're like, "It's oh man, it's getting dark. Hey, look at that inn right there in the middle of the woods. How convenient." Yeah. So I had a pretty good modifier for mine, but, you know, you might have whatever modifier you have. But that's part of that table where you roll the D100, and then based off of what you roll, you either make money, lose money. You know, your business starts to fail, who knows?
Yep, that is the big one. And the great thing about running a business, it's actually so popular that Dungeons & Dragons came out with a whole book about it.
Yeah.
It's called Acquisitions Incorporated. And in said book, you can start a franchise. And you can sell rights to your franchise to random towns and people who will pay you money regularly in order to run a shop that may or may not succeed, and you don't lose anything if it fails. And the bigger your franchise, the more abilities you get involving your franchise.
You could start up the next McDonald's, but for D&D.
You could totally do that. There's also special magic items you can get specifically revolving around your franchise, and the higher level you are in your franchise, the more powerful the items get.
Nice.
And there's specific jobs that you can give people, like, you know, secretarian, of things of that nature that just kind of weirdly titled jobs, but they're just like a secretary, and they you just hire them, and that's their specific job, and that's exactly what they do, and they run your business for you.
Now, I will say,
hey, that's kind of what I did, but I, not with the rules.
I believe that people who actually have the job secretary, I don't know, I feel like I've heard this, I don't know if it was in a show or in real life, but apparently they prefer the term executive assistant. Because secretary apparently sounds demoralizing or condescending.
So another thing you could do for downtime activities is training for things. that could be feats, skills, language proficiencies, weapon proficiencies, and tool proficiencies. This isn't technically from any book, but this is a thing that we regularly do. I'm pretty sure all three of us regularly do in any of our games if you want.
Yeah.
We have rules specifically for it. Ben, I think you have them legitimately written down.
And actually, I believe Michael was the one to send them to me.
I was. I would have to search through my phone for the images exactly that detailed them, but it was from a post that I had found online at some point. I cannot, for the life of me, remember.
How about this? How about this? We'll post them on Instagram the day that this episode comes out.
If I find them. If I can't find them, then I'm sorry.
But yeah, you can train for feats, skills, language proficiencies, weapon proficiencies, tool proficiencies. I think at some point you even let us train for, like, ASIs.
Yes.
Yes, it did.
Which is, like, awesome.
I also let you train... Yeah, I also let you train for epic boons at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was an interesting game.
Yeah, nutty.
Yeah, I don't think this one takes too much explaining, though. I mean, like, you put in the amount of days required based off of... I'm pretty sure it's based off of a certain stat that you have, depending on what you're training for. And then by the end of it, you get that thing. You get the feat or skill or whatever. But yeah, that's that one. Another one that we have here on our list... It is from the DMG, and it's called Sowing Rumors, and that's always fun. Especially if you have a very plot-heavy campaign. Maybe it's like a politics-type campaign or something like that. You know, there could be a lot going on here.
Yeah, definitely. So, Sowing Rumors, I think, is one of the most fun ones, because you can literally say anything you want. Yeah. You can say
you
can that...
sow rumors... that your party wizard is stinky.
You could also sow rumors that the mayor of the town you were just in, like from the last town you were in, like steals horses and kisses them on the mouth at night. Then everyone who goes through this town will take that message back to the town you were just in and beyond.
Well, you could... Or you could sow rumors that that same guy that kisses horses on the mouth doesn't like chicken nuggies, and then he'll probably be dethroned. I mean,
I would... Or assassinated, or murdered in the street.
I would vote to get him out of there. That guy sounds like a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Or you could even sow rumors that your party is looking for work.
Or that your party is super cool and not stinky and loves chicken nuggies and doesn't kiss horses on the mouth.
Yeah, what's fun in that?
All those can be true. The world is your oyster. Your imagination is your only limitation.
So.
Yeah.
I think that's enough on sowing rumors. There is a chart that determines how long it takes to sow certain rumors and how much gold you put into it also determines how fast you can do it.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, it depends on how big the area you're in. So if you're in a village, it takes 2d6 days. If you're in a town, it takes 46. And if you're in a city, it takes 66. I imagine if you were in a metropolis or a capital city, it might take like 8d6.
8 or 10.
Yeah. And I imagine if you were in a floating sky city filled with gods, it would take about 2 seconds. Because it's the first new bit of information they've received in God knows how long.
and they can all tell, they can all telepathically talk to each other. So
yeah,
it's pretty easy to spread the word. But yeah, that's sowing rumors. What's the next thing on our handy dandy little list here, Michael?
Yeah, the next thing on the list is acquiring and or selling magical items.
And now this one I like.
Yeah, so this is pretty neat. So I mean, first off, you know, you gotta kind of, you know, work with your DM on it. You know, if you want to acquire a magic item, this is something that Ben touched on briefly earlier, where perhaps you want a ring that can shrink or enlarge things. Maybe you gotta go do some sort of quest to acquire items to make it, and maybe you gotta do quest lines for your character in order to even find and chase down a specific item that you're looking for. Yeah. So say you really want to get a +2 battle axe. Perhaps you talk to a local shopkeeper or some connections that you have through your background or through your time adventuring already, and you find that, okay, this guy in this city, you know, 3 days away might know where to find one. So then you go on that journey, you go to that city, you talk to the guy who you were told about, and then he sends you to another city 2 days away up north. You go up there, you find out that that guy knows the person who has it and can get it for you within a week. Congratulations.
But then you find out that the guy who had it is in the city you started in to begin with. Yeah. And he's the guy who told you you might know where a guy is that knows where one is.
No. It's actually the person that you're actually looking for is your party wizard.
Who forgot, man, they had it on their character sheet.
But the DM...
Until they told the DM that they wanted to sell it.
Yes.
And he then just told the DM, like, a day later.
No, they told the DM the day before. And then the DM thought of this devious plan to do this. and then all of a sudden, you're about to find the guy, the session ends, and then at the beginning of the next session, you see that it's your DM, and also the person in your party who plays a wizard. And you're like, what are you doing here? And they're like, oh, I'm selling an item. And you're like, what? I'm buying an item. And then you find out it's the same item. Congratulations. One of you sold a magic item and one of you acquired a magic item.
This is such a roundabout way of doing things. I love downtimes.
See, but that's the kind of thing that would happen.
That would totally happen.
Would totally happen. I would totally make that happen.
Ben, in our next game, whatever it is, make that happen.
I don't know that I'll be running the next game, my dude.
Don't let it happen to me, though. Unless I'm the selling guy. I don't care if I'm the selling
guy. So yeah, we touched on acquiring and selling magic items, and we also touched earlier, and even a little bit there, on crafting magical items.
Yeah. And once you have the stuff, you gotta make stuff with the stuff.
Or yeah, just crafting items?
Like, well, just I mean, normal it's items? You can craft regular items. Generally, you know, you could either build up the skill in the tools to be able to do that, or you can go find a shop that'll do that, and that might even lead you on another adventure where, you know, you're traveling cities away to find a shop that specializes in that certain thing if it's a complex item.
Yeah, I can attest that I have spent the downtime. Actually, I stopped in the middle of playing actual D&D and made my party wait in town for like 5 days while I crafted a solid gold greatsword that I gifted to my paladin friend. His name was Guilford the First.
All right. Cool.
So moving on.
Really, see, that was supposed to matter, but
you really broke our joke about being really specific, but being not specific enough in our examples. Just
you want
just
me to barely. Redo it then? Fine. Fine.
No, that's fine. It's fine. Fine. It's fine.
I'll
it's
say
fine.
It
it's
all fine. Again.
Another thing you could do in downtime is carousing.
Okay.
This
carousing
is in the DMG.
Has...
Also is crafting items, acquiring and selling magical items, and sowing rumors. All of
yes.
those are in the DMG.
Carousing has led to some of the most fun moments in any of my games.
They really made my rogue a player. For sure.
Only when he was blackout drunk, though.
Just, like, really funny, if I think.
Carousing is a great thing to do whenever your players decide they want to get drunk in-game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even if they're out drinking and they haven't blacked out, but they get knocked out by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one, too.
Yep.
Or if they got mugged.
Yep, that happened once.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they wake up in a very important person's bed.
Yeah. Or they
or
wake
a
up
a very
no
important
stuff.
Person's daughter's bed.
Or they wake up next to half of a ham.
Dressed
yes.
as a man or woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's happened as well.
There, you can go online and specifically, you know, places like Reddit and Pinterest, you can find a ton of charts that you can use for rolling, just tons of different options for carousing. You just roll
yeah.
a D100, you take whatever that option is, and you go with it.
I would say the two most common charts for all of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition are carousing, followed only by magic, wild magic surges.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, those are the two things people make charts for. So that makes me think that everyone on the internet just plays drunken... Wild magic sorcerers. that's really all I can imagine, like, how this happened, how we got to this point.
Which, let's be honest, that's fantastic.
But, to be fair, if you don't want to have to go to Pinterest or Reddit or whatever to find these long, really, really long tables, you can find one in the DMG. It's real short. It's only got 7 options for you to roll, but they're options nonetheless.
Yeah, like, let's see, you are jailed for a certain amount of days, you regain consciousness in a strange place with no memory of how you got there, and you've been robbed of however much money.
Yep.
You make an enemy.
You fall in love.
You fall in love.
And then 3 different
gambling options,
opportunities for gambling.
Yeah,
which is another fun downtime activity.
A bunch of money.
I really like the enemy, because you don't know that you have an enemy, but you do.
They're there.
They're there, and they very much don't like you.
And you know what? I bet they're spending all of their downtime, which is like all the time because they're an NPC, selling rumors.
Oh, wait. I just read exactly what it says. You make an enemy. This person, business, or organization is now hostile to you. The DM determines the offended party, but you decide how you offended them.
If you're a player and you roll this option on carousing because your DM decides to use that as an option, whether it's on this chart or some other chart, be creative. Don't do something dumb. Actually work with your DM to find something creative that you could have done, because that makes it more interesting and it could weave more into storylines and story arcs for your character and be cool.
Or you can call someone a stupid doo-doo head.
You can steal someone's chicken nuggies.
Oh, that's uncool.
I would put a hit out on that.
It's a capital offense right there.
That's uncool.
Anyways, moving on to, you know, you can do things like gambling, you know, that's one of the things that it could be a very dangerous thing to do in the real world, because you could possibly get addicted and lose lots and lots of money and have to owe money to loan sharks and stuff. Maybe that happens in game. Maybe you're the loan shark. Maybe you're super successful at gambling. Who knows? Gambling can provide a lot of options within itself, and I think one of the like most relaxed sessions that we ever had, I believe it was Hayden that was the DM for this session. It was a game of, I think it was Storm Kings. Yeah, it was Storm Kings that you joined in for a session, and we actually spent the whole like 3 hour playing session just gambling. Like real life, acting it out, not actually like betting anything ourselves, but you know, like pretending to do it in-game. In-game
gold pieces.
It was so fun.
You guys
for
did
legal,
that
for legal purposes, no currency was exchanged between parties.
Yeah, we also did that in Prince of the Apocalypse in Jake's game.
Yeah, that was really fun that one night, actually. I had so much fun with that.
You guys, like, bankrupted the whole city, and they all loved you for it.
And if your players don't want to risk losing money, who knows? Maybe as a DM, you can have them control, like, a local townsperson that frequents the gambling hall.
Which I did, I think. A couple people.
You let a few of us do it.
I was like, yeah, you could just be George.
I enacted a male who was going against his wife's wishes and went to gamble, and then he lost a lot of money specifically to one person. He went home, told his wife, and then I roleplayed the wife coming in and getting super angry and throwing down like all of her life's money, and then she lost it.
To me.
there's so much fun that you can have, whether you decide to roleplay it or not for gambling. But I think roleplaying it is something that it can be fun to just take a break from the normal swing of things and just kind of have a fun session of just nothing really matters. Just kind of do something fun and different.
I remember the reason we did it in my game, it was because you guys like were having someone make you an item, like the town blacksmith or something, and you guys had to be there for a couple days, but had nothing to do. So I was like, "What do you guys want to do?" And you guys were like, "I don't freaking know." I don't know. And then someone was like, "I want to gamble." I was like, "Okay, give me a second." And I started looking up online like fun like D6 based gambling games that are just like really short and easy. And then, like, everyone just started having fun. So that's what we did that game.
Yeah, we also, like, we basically threw a kegger in the bar. Like, we bankrolled the bar to keep rolling out drinks.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
That was honestly one of the most fun sessions. And then, like, three sessions later, my character's entire world was shattered, and he was...
Yeah.
Not happy after that.
And we haven't played since.
Yay!
COVID. Using it as an excuse.
Which, you know, I just thought about it. We never really told our listeners. You know, some of you guys might be out there and you guys might actually care. I know a lot of people probably really don't, but we all record from our own houses, so we're socially distanced from each other. We're not like all in one room right next to each other, all buddy buddy, you know, spreading our germs. So
Even if we weren't, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
I live in my house, so that's one of us, that's clear. At the very least,
I go to work, but I wear my face mask, you know. I'm covered. Yeah. But we're all COVID safe. I felt that it was important to let you guys know, for those of you that care and are concerned, although I figure most of you probably aren't.
I mean, for those who are, I had COVID and I survived, so we're good.
And he distanced himself from everybody. He quarantined.
I did. For 2 weeks, no one heard from me.
Yep.
I was just like, hey guys, I'm in my house. Don't come near me. Be gone.
Yep. Anyways.
Yeah, back on track.
The next thing that we have on our big old list here is wandering.
And honestly, I love these people in my games. Because I am the type of DM who has all this weird lore for places that people have never been and never will be. Because I don't plan on using them for anything, but they exist. Yep. So players who are like, you know, this thing on the map, this like area that has nothing on it on our map, I want to go there. And I'm like, I pull up my map and I was like, there was 23 things on that one hexagon on my map. So where do you want to go?
I'll start at 16. Squints eyes. Like,
it's like, 16. Well, to get to 16, you have to cut a line through like 1, 3, 7, 4, and 9.
Yeah.
Then I'll start
at 9.
See, it works like the outermost starts at 1 and then going inward. Okay, fine. I'll start at 1. Jeez.
Oh, and by the way, since this no area has never been explored before, you're probably going to have to go through all of the areas to get to the place you want. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm the kind of type of DM that hates these people because I don't do that. I don't. I make up things on the spot when they need them. That's why I don't like DMing.
Did you know that north of the mountain range, that is to the north of the desert, there is a massive frozen wasteland? And in that frozen wasteland, there is a race of penguin people?
Yeah, we went there once. I remember that session.
Yeah, they hoard gold and they rob anyone that comes over the mountains.
But they liked us.
Yeah.
We made friends with them.
Kind of.
Dude, I want to go penguin sledding. They didn't
rob my gold, so.
I'm going to rename them, actually, now that I've thought about it, but I'll get to that later.
Okay.
They're penguin now.
Wait, didn't we? Oh, I remember why we had to go there. We actually had to go there because of a quest that happened because of downtime activities.
You needed to find a platypus.
Yeah.
So that I needed you to could find a platypus moose. And make
no, it
cheese.
Was a platypus moose.
It was a platymus.
It was a platymus. It was a platymus.
Yeah.
So I needed, I had at my inn, I had a very special, fancy person who asked for very rare and like exquisite cheeses and crackers and wine and whatnot for
they
like
just
a,
they just wanted a fancy charcuterie board.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, he was just like a really rich person, and I was super skeptical of him for the longest time because I thought he was so weird, and it turns out he was just some fancy random dude.
He's eccentric.
He was a rich author, and, by the way.
Yeah, and I had to go on like a really long quest to find a platymus to milk it, and now at my inn I have platymus because I took two back and I had them mate.
And so now you have just a nice supply cheese. Of platypus cheese.
Yep.
Well, no, you took regular platypus, but you had to track down a crazy wizard who was creating platymus so that you could steal his platypus. That's what it was. Yes. So you guys fought the platymus, but then you guys were like, we don't want the platymus, we want the platypus, and you found them in cages hanging from the ceiling. And then you guys killed John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, the wizard.
Did this happen near Christmas time?
Yeah, something like that.
I feel like it probably happened around Christmas time.
Around Christmas time, yeah. He had one ability, and it was your name is my name too, and he would turn anyone he looked at into a copy of himself. That's why the basement was full of hymns.
But anyway,
and then Lava used cloud kill on the basement and turned them all back into what they were, but didn't stop concentrating. And when you guys finally went down there, you just found a bunch of random people dead.
Yikes.
And I knew everybody was like, we won't talk about this ever again.
Close that door. Sail back to the desert.
Yeah, wandering can provide some fun things.
Interesting things.
Interesting.
Moving on. The next step is research. Research. The next one is research. So if you guys have like some random book or some item or something that you want to look into, you can, you know, spend your time researching it, trying to find more information on it, and some weird library that maybe the town you're in has a very extensive library. Maybe you have to go to another town that has a bigger library that is more, you know, focused on this subject or something. I don't know. But researching can be a fun thing that you can do with your downtime.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, you know, in Pathfinder, there's a skill that you can be proficient in called lore. And there's all different kinds of lore. You know, you could be proficient in lore of warfare and stuff like that. And this is something that, you know, you don't necessarily need to create a whole new skill for D&D 5e, but it's something that you can kind of learn a lot about one type of thing. And I think that that's something that's really cool because, okay, maybe you're in a situation where you know a lot about a topic and that topic comes up and you might need to persuade somebody. Maybe because you've done all that research, your DM decides to give you like a +2 to the roll.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit of a benefit or lowers the DC or something to make it a little bit easier because you've spent the time to research into that topic. Or maybe you just have an enemy that you know you're going to have to go against in the future. You're building up your power to do it. You're researching that enemy.
Yeah.
And now maybe you have some insight into what kind of damage will affect it more. What kind of damage has no effect.
Yeah, that's like something that we as the Royal Flush did a lot.
Yeah,
when you guys had to fight a literal titan because I'm an insane man.
Yes.
You know what's funny? We did all those weeks of research and then we didn't actually really fight it ourselves.
Yeah.
You're right. You banished it to an alternate dimension as along with a level 20 epic level character and then he battled it to the death for all eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of weeks wasted.
We probably spent like three or four full sessions researching.
Yeah. And we didn't use any of it.
Uh-huh.
We still got those notes though in our Discord.
Yeah.
But, well, good, because you might have to deal with its children someday.
Okay, let's calm down.
Let's not.
The next thing that you could do with your downtime, we already talked about it a bit, is working a job. And I actually think we pretty much covered everything about it, really. I mean,
yeah, you just find a business that's looking to hire, you go there, and you make money. Guaranteed, no risk of loss. With running a business or gambling or carousing.
Yeah, you just make a steady income.
Maybe if you're a beefy boy, you go and you work for a home builder.
Or like the docks.
Yeah.
Of a local port city or
something. Work for a trading company.
Or for an inn run by a former adventurer. Who knows?
Maybe he's a really grumpy old guy. I don't know. The really troublesome gnome that lives there. I don't know why you guys are like keep stating these very seeming specific character traits for somebody, but maybe he's a recovered alcoholic.
speaking of recovering alcoholics, establishing a stronghold.
One thing to be said, though, real quick, about gambling, wandering, researching, and finding a job. None of those are in any books. We just kind of thought those up.
Gambling is briefly touched on in the carousing chart, but that's about it.
Yeah, we don't actually have any specific rules about any of these.
However, establishing a stronghold is.
Yes.
So, here's the thing. Okay. Stronghold doesn't have to be like a fortress. It can be any place your party gathers. So you could be a guild hall, a small keep, an estate, a house, a fort, a tower, a trading post, even a temple, anything.
Very
a
cheap,
building,
yeah.
A barn,
anything. Or a palace,
or an entire city,
or an entire city, even if you're rich enough. Or an inn with extremely advanced defenses, magically enhanced crossbows and ballistae.
With a wild gnome.
And then eventually other businesses popping up around it, and it just becoming a very small known outpost.
And an advanced, well-renowned blacksmith ended up opening a shop inside.
Guys, well, we are being really oddly specific this episode.
I mean, We just feel really nice about this episode. You know, like I just have a lot of ideas about things that could happen, you know?
I know what we have to name this episode.
Oddly specific.
Oddly specific events. A series of oddly specific events. All right.
You heard it here first, guys. That's the name. It's not like you saw it when you clicked on the video or on the episode,
guys,
on Spotify.
They're learning
or something.
How we structure our things. Oh, no.
Doing it live.
The insides.
Yeah, so strongholds are super cool. You can give your players freedom, man. Like, it costs money and it takes time.
Like, but how cool is it?
But ew, it's so cool.
Like, so cool.
Let your players do it. Like, if they have the money and they can figure out a way to do it, do it. Like, I know, Jake, you were talking to me a while back about you worked out a way to build a floating castle. Like, legitimately with magic.
Did I?
You did. With Graviturgy magic. You were just like, yeah, floating castle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, listen, so if Cade... Okay, hold on, sorry. So, hypothetically, if I had this, like, halfling rogue, right? who could also cast magic and had a very successful inn.
It's hard to imagine.
Could hire a bunch of these wizards, right, that cast this one specific spell from Explorer's Guide to Wildemount. And I could use this along with other things that are already spells that I already use to magically enhance my construction business, which I kind of do on the side. I could build this thing that just stays up technically forever. And I could, you know, use enough of these support beams to build however big I want, technically. And you were just like, yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, let your players go crazy with it. I know I'm having my Royal Flush players design a magic house with infinite number of rooms that as much as they want and as much space as they want inside, like, a smaller area. It's just if it gets damaged, it explodes outward. So, you know. Which
we still don't know how we're getting and haven't even touched on since you brought it up, like, literally 2 months ago.
I was giving you guys time to work on it.
But yeah, it's just like having a stronghold may not have a lot of, you know, like, cool aspects for it, like statistically wise and like, or like, you know, not very helpful, but it's really cool.
Not helpful.
Well, I mean, just to have like a defined base of operations for your party is really cool.
Oh yeah, but also if you do it right, you can get siege equipment and put it on the wall of your castle, and then anyone who steps to you just gets royally wrecked. You can also hire a garrison. That's also another thing there are rules for in the DMG, to man said siege weapons and guard the place for you.
That's, yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but now, the DMG has rules for how much it would cost and how much time it would take to construct, so.
Based on, like, what size.
Yeah.
Well, and I gotta tell you guys, there is a couple other things in the DMG that I think are worth mentioning.
Yeah.
For one, gaining renown. Now, renown doesn't sound all that great until you realize that not too long ago, in a certain book, rules for gaining renown with patrons was released, called Tasha's Guide to, what is it?
Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. That was the specific name. Can't believe gaining that. Renown with downtime, my dudes. Become famous and make people like you that have lots of money that can sponsor you as an adventuring party or just as a person. If you need to be more well-known to get accepted into, like, a magical college or a school so you can gain access to higher-level spells, if you need to be more widely known so that you can be trained by a famous swordmaster or a famous craftsman, that's the way to do it, my dudes.
Or, you know, if you want, you can even combine the gaining renown with the piety system that goes from along Theros. With deities from beyond Theros. And I think that's awesome. Something that you could do that would be super cool, especially if you're like a cleric or a paladin, or if you're a warlock, you can gain renown with your patron.
You are absolutely right. And going along with that, you can also, according to the DMG, perform sacred rites.
Yep.
You can legit just perform a sacred rite. You can perform weddings, funerals, or ordinations. You can what was it, you can make holy land sacred, or the opposite, but don't do that because that would be a bad boy thing to do. That would be a bad nugget thing to do.
Yeah.
Bad nugget.
Bad nugget.
My spine is chills.
They're like frozen nuggies that have been like cooked in the oven and then refrozen and then microwaved. Just terrible nuggies.
I almost just vomited, actually. I almost just, like...
You know, I really hate to say this, but those sound like some bad nuggies.
We got Jacob to say it, boys. Now we have that audio forever.
Yeah, too bad I'm the editor.
Yes, but I also store the audio files.
Oh, no. And
I now have Jacob saying bad nuggies.
One last thing that the DMG mentions. It's not technically a downtime activity, even though it kind of is. It's a variant rule. In some games, like older Dungeons & Dragons games, kind of like AD&D or First Edition, you could spend time outside of adventuring to gain levels once you had the experience necessary. And it costs money and it takes time to train. There is rules for that. You can train to gain your levels. And at that point, you don't just go home and sleep and level up or level up as soon as you finish combat. You actually have to, outside of combat, choose to take the time to level up. And I think that is a very interesting way to do it.
Because, like, I mean, you're getting new abilities, and at some point you have to learn about how to do these abilities, right?
Yes, makes sense. There's a trade-off here. Because let's say your DM says there's 10 in-game days between this adventure and the next part of the adventure. You guys have 10 days, and you think, oh man, I could level up in those days. Or I could try to get this magic item that I've been trying to get. Which is more important? What do I need more? A level up or a magic item? Or to sell a magic item and get a bunch of money and then buy something that I need?
I mean, leveling up always sounds nice to me.
Yes.
Or maybe, you know, you can spend all those time in between here and there. Maybe you're, instead of leveling up every single time you have the opportunity, maybe you're spending some of that time here and there to get another proficiency in a feat or a skill or a language. And then you're trying to play catch up later, but you have stuff that might make up for it.
Yeah, or if you're working on a magic item that you've worked with your DM for and you're crafting it from scratch, something that could make the difference between a low level and a high level.
Yeah.
Imagine a game where the wizard is actually the tankiest, because he's the only one who actually trains for all of his level ups while everyone else keeps using their downtime for other stuff.
Imagine a game where the wizard is the highest level in the party.
Well, that would have to be the same instance, right?
Yeah. Or imagine a game where a wizard is the lowest level in the party. He's like a full 5 levels below, but he has magic items so amazing that there's literally nothing you can do to touch him.
Imagine a game where everybody is technically level 20, but they're all actually level 1 with legendary items.
Just like a bunch of legendary items just like stuck to their bodies like spoons.
Because here's the thing. The way that I would rule the variant rule there is I would say that you still gain anything as far as like health. Because being out on these adventures, you've kind of worked up being more resilient and having a little bit more that you can take.
Gotcha. I kind of agree with that, actually. If I were going to use this, I would say you are level this, but you haven't gained the abilities of level that yet because you haven't trained for them, but you do get the health.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I agree with that 100%.
I'll tell you what, boys. If I'm in that game, that won't be true because I'm going to level up every time I can.
That's fair. That's that is your choice. Every character is going to have that choice, and that's something that can really provide an interesting dynamic in the game.
Yeah. I agree.
Again, a lot of these may never get used in a lot of games. A lot of people don't care about downtime activities. But we're here to tell you, maybe you should. And after today, maybe you'll start to look a little bit harder at those pages you never flip through the DMG.
Yeah, and if you have an idea for something that your characters can do in downtime, but you haven't heard it here or it's not covered in one of the books, make your own downtime activity. Do what you want. You're the DM.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you say goes.
Yeah, man. And
but also, we have one more thing that we wanted to talk about, right?
Oh.
One more thing on our list here.
What would that be, Jay?
Well, I mean, you could do all these things that are we have already talked about, like running business, training for whatever, you know, sowing rumors, gambling, researching, whatever, I don't know. Or you can do something more specific based on your character. And obviously we can't provide these examples for you because we don't know your characters. But, you know, backstory related things. Maybe you're like looking for your long lost brother or something. I don't freaking know. Or whatever, you know, maybe, I mean, technically any of these can also be backstory related things or character specific. Like, for instance, the time that my character just trained for feats the whole 2 years because it was right after like this really big thing in his life happened and he didn't know what else to do but other to work his butt off until he couldn't like feel emotion anymore. And you know, just distract himself with work, you know, and so he just trained and that's what he did. But so yes, I was training for feats, but also I was doing something very based on what my character would do, something very character specific, which no one else did at all during that downtime activity, downtime that we had, I'm pretty sure, right?
Not like, literally true.
No one else.
Bailey's character went looking for his father.
No, but like no one else trained for feats.
Oh, no, Bailey did.
Mine did.
Oh, okay, never mind then. I know nothing.
Just not the whole time. That was that was a mad lad move.
You were like, wait, we can get feats and stuff in downtime? Say no more.
You were like, say less, fam. Say less.
But yeah, like anything based on your character. You know, you could be like Bailey was in that time. You could be looking for your father or whatever. Or like Michael, you can be starting a mercenary group or whatever. Yeah. It's very specific to his character.
Also like Bailey, you could make an enemy that then you forget about, but I have written in my notes that will come back to haunt you later.
Oh.
And the whole party, as a matter of fact.
I'm guessing that's going to happen pretty soon here.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, we encourage all DMs out there to take advantage and take note of all of the little things that you can bring back later and make your players go, oh god, I forgot about that.
Oh boy.
Because as a player, I love those moments.
Oh yeah.
And as a DM, I'm sure Ben, you can attest to this. Those moments are so sweet.
Oh yeah. I have a confession, boys. I let Bailey peek a look at my notes for the Royal Flush the other day. I just took out everything that pertained to the main story and his character. And he was like, that's messed up. And I was like, that's not my fault. They did it. They did it to themselves. But anyways, I digress. I suppose we have covered basically everything we can.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of downtime. If your group is interested in downtime activities, see how it works for you guys. You know,
downtime's a good time.
Do some testing on it. See what works and what doesn't work.
You never know. You might just be planting seeds that end your campaign. You may not realize it until way later. But there are multiple ways to end campaigns with downtime, and that's why I love them.
And if you're a DM who's tired of this one campaign that you've been playing for years, maybe this is the escape.
This is your way out. Take
Let
it and
them
run.
Plant their own seeds, my guy.
See, Ben made the mistake of having his way out present itself because of downtime, but then starting a new game.
It's because I like D&D.
And now we have like 5 people waiting to DM games. It's great.
It's so fun.
I think it's because they see like how torturous I am to myself about DMing and then I still do it. And they're like, no, stop.
In fact, I myself am planning 3 different games. All in different systems. I'm planning a D&D 5th edition. I'm planning a Pathfinder 2nd edition. And I'm planning a Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Which we don't know what is all going to be covered as far as travelers, if it's going to be on YouTube or if we're going to stream it on Twitch or what, we're going to figure all that stuff out.
It'll be on YouTube at least.
Probably. It'll be probably on Traveler YouTube. Depending on how we feel about the content after recording, we might make it somewhat disconnected from Travelers by putting on like our personal channels and stuff like that. We don't know yet. We'll figure it out.
Personal channels?
Yeah.
How could you, Mike? You would betray the Travelers Tips and Tales brand?
You would betray
the brand of Travelers Tips and Tales that you can find on Instagram at Travelers Tips and Tales, or on Facebook at Travelers Tips and Tales, or on Twitter at Tips Tales, or on Tumblr at Travelers Tips and Tales, or email us at TravelersTipsAndTales@gmail.com, or on Patreon for Travelers Tips and Tales. You would betray our brand like that, Michael?
Hey, thanks Ben's mom, our patron.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, thanks Ben's mom.
My mom, our patron.
Goodbye.
Until next time, adventure awaits.
Get the most important downtime activity. You can live amongst the rats.